I'm gonna keep that, I know, no markings on your agenda.
And resolution 22-550, moved by Councilor Haskins, seconded by Councilor Ryland. It resolved the corporate, council of the corporation of Township of Keller does hereby reconvene into open session of council at 5:29 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. And resolution 22-551, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Haskins. Be resolved that the council and corporation of Township of Keller hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held December 20th, 2022. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Call the meeting to order. By respect and acknowledgement declaration, I'd like to begin by acknowledging that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Take the roll call.
Councillor Marley Haskell.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Heckman.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
Mayor David Warner.
Administrator,
Mary Smith. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 22-552, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskin. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into a public meeting at
5:32 PM.
Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. For this public meeting, we have three applications for rezoning. First one is 10.1, Hardy. And we have included in the package the application, the planning report from the planners J.L. Richards, and a draft zoning bylaw amendment, which may or may not be considered this evening, depending upon what comes out of the open session and questions from the in the audience and on Zoom.
So pursuant to Section 34 of the Planning Act, a zoning bylaw amendment is being sought to rezone the subject lands from Inland Development 1 Rural to Inland Development 2 Rural Residential to fulfill a condition of consent application B42-2022. The subject lands are located on the west side of Lindsay Lane. The two severed lots each have an area of approximately 2 hectares with frontage of approximately 60 meters along Lindsay Lane.
put the resolution on the table, and then we'll open up for discussion. That resolution 22-553, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the zoning amendment application planning report prepared by J.L. Richards and draft bylaw 2022-64 for the Harding planning application. We'll open it to discussion, first of all, with Council, and then open it to the public. Council, have any comments?
I guess
like Councilor Haskin.
Yeah, I know a little bit of history on it, and that's basically what we would consider a consent application to sever two new lots, which we would almost class as back lots to waterfront lots. So it came up that maybe it should have more restrictions on it, such as all-out farming at these locations, which is directly across the road from residential lots on the waterfront. So this is to meet a condition that the planning board put in place to rezone from the rural to rural residential.
Okay. Any further comments? It is a public meeting, so I'll certainly open it up to the public, and that's people in person and on Zoom. And if you could just give us your name as well, so that could be for the record, if you wish to speak to this particular application. Yes, sir. Now, do we have a microphone there again?
Greg Ford. Did I see the planner on there?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Dave Wellwood down there.
So I think this question is, first of all, I'd like to say I'm neither for nor against this rezoning. I just wanted to speak to it. I have a question about it. On the map for the this rezoning, there's a Schedule A map attached to the rezoning, and it gives it a map number 129. I'm just wondering where that number comes from. I can't find it in relation to anything else in the zoning bylaw.
Hearing your question clearly, but if I understand it correctly, you're asking about the reference to the map number on the draft zoning bylaw amendment, is that correct?
Yes.
So that was part of Schedule A, the bylaw. The excerpt shows the original zoning of the two parcels and how they are to be rezoned as part of the application.
My question is, in brackets after that Schedule A, you have map number 129.
We don't have the zoning bylaw in front of me right now, but I can look for that reference, the map number. You can see just a moment.
We have a moment. Yes, if you can look for that.
Council have the bylaw in their packet?
Yeah.
Do we have the attached schedule? Does it have brackets 129, map 129?
Yes. Sheets apparently attached, referring to one of them, so nothing specific, I don't think.
Are you speaking about the numbering for the zoning maps for 9512, or what were you speaking about? I just don't know where that number 129 comes from.
It comes from Schedule A of the Township Zoning Bylaw. There are a number of sheets that show...
There's no 129.
have to look into that further to be able to answer your question, unless my colleague Dave, do you have anything else to add?
And just while I'm speaking about it, there's three zonings on the agenda tonight, and all three of the maps for the zonings on the agenda tonight all say 129. So, I'm just curious where that number comes from for future reference. It may be kind of hard to find it.
I'm not sure where that reference comes from.
So what does that do in the interim if that's removed?
We could omit the reference just because it doesn't seem to provide much clarity. I think it's sufficient to speak to Schedule A of the zoning bylaw. And if we want to further specify what sheet it's on, we can provide that reference. But I think in the meantime, we could omit that MAC number since it doesn't seem to provide any further information that's relevant.
That would be my recommendation as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the public? Come up to the mic, please, and state your name.
Good evening. My name is Janice Scott. My husband Vic and I own a property on Lindsay Lane. I'm really not speaking for or against it either, but I have two questions. The first one is there's no doubt that the sort of the landscape of Lindsay Lane changes with homes being potentially developed across the road. Is there a plan, do you know, to have sort of two single dwellings in each of these properties, or something more being proposed there that we just don't understand if we don't know all the municipal lingo and language? So that's sort of number one.
We'd have to look at the application, and maybe the planners can help with this as well. I know it's a future event, but is that the assumption, I guess, is that the proposal for single-family residential? I'll ask the planners.
And so I'm having trouble hearing. If you could please repeat your question if you don't mind.
She's just questioning about the future use of those two properties, whether it's for single family residential or whatever other uses there might be.
So the lands are currently vacant, as I believe. They'll likely be used for future residential use just based on the zoning. What kind of building or structure the applicant didn't specify that, so we don't have any information as to what kind of structure, whether that's a single family home. But if you were to look in within the zoning category that it's rezoned to, it would show the permitted residential uses.
Okay, thank you. And the RR is more restrictive than the RU, yes.
Okay, I wouldn't really be familiar with that, so thank you. So, we're, I mean, it's obviously a difference between six small huts being developed on one of the two properties versus a single family dwelling that probably won't change the landscape of Lindsay Lane as much, but there's no doubt it's going to be a change as a result of this decision being made by council. Secondly, we're just north of this, by the way, but our property, you can see on the map, abuts the easement. So the second question I had, I think we proposed this because we first learned about this through Perry Sound, I believe, but is there a plan with these two properties to have access to the lake? And what would that access be?
Councillor Hassan.
Well, I would just, I could be corrected by the planners, but there is no intentions to supply water access for these lots.
I think what she's asking is, because it is a road allowance or concession there leads to water, could that be used in the future? And again, it's a future action, it's hard to know. But could someone come back to council and want to open that up? I think that's what you're asking.
And it's right between our property and the Bruce's property, which is directly across from where these two lots are being proposed. So we just can't lose sight of that, because that markedly changes our property, which we just built 6 years ago, and certainly the value of that project.
Well, one of our policies of the township certainly has been any road allowances or concessions leading to water stays in the township name for future access for the public. Not that to be stopped up and closed. But that's a policy, again, that is subject to change. But right now, that's what we've followed over the years.
Thank you. It's very narrow, easement. It's not even road. It's very narrow, but anything is possible, I think we've learned over time. And it's interesting that right, again, the north side of what's being developed, there's quite a stream that rolls down there, obviously, through the easement and then into the lake. So I'm just assuming from an environmental perspective that all that has been carefully looked at, because it is a fairly major source of water running into Lake Manitowoc.
Maybe just a clarification as well from the planners. You're calling it an easement. I'm calling it a road loss concession. So can we have clarification what it exactly is? Just north of the proposed severed lot?
Severed one, yeah.
I don't think she's hearing us.
No, I don't.
The audio is really muffled. It's really difficult to hear. Are you asking about an easement on the property, on the subject thing?
Just to the north of the severed property, it looks like there could be an easement or a concession that goes across and leads down to the water. Just wanted to know the nature of that piece of property.
I don't believe there's any easement registered on the subject lands themselves. That was the scope of our review of the application. I would have to look into other lands surrounding to see if there's an easement. I'm not sure that answers your question. Was your question about access to the water specifically?
I think the question was, what happens in the future? Would these people be expecting access to the water using this piece of property?
Do you have a response for that?
Yeah, our scope of the application review is really limited to the current existing boundaries of the application to us that were created provisionally by consent. We wouldn't be able to look at requiring access to other properties as part of this review.
Yes, that's fair enough.
So, sorry, if you look at the map itself, you'll see that the easement isn't on that property.
No.
It's between our property and Bruce's property. And I think that, you know, if you're asking, are you asking people to agree or oppose it? Obviously, if all they're doing is building two dwellings the other side of the road on a large piece of land, that's fine. It changes the landscape, as I said, but that's okay. But if there's any consideration to that, then of course we would oppose it because it's right beside our property and it's very, very narrow.
Yeah, and they're just suggesting that that's beyond the scope of what they've been asked to.
I probably just want council to know, I think, be in the record of what that's what we would oppose strongly.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right.
Just wanted to see if I can clarify it for a little
bit.
Sorry, can I?
With microphone, though.
Yeah, no problem. Vic Scott, follow-up to my wife's question. On this easement, there's significant flow of water that runs spring, fall, into the lake. So the question is, what sort of environmental assessment or impact studies have they done to ensure that the lake is not jeopardized by whatever construction or planned construction is going to be happening in the future, knowing that the health of the lake is always an issue for the Lake Association, and we're members of the Lake Association, so that's all we talk about, is the health of the lake. So what sort of environmental impact have they had to undergo to assure that whatever they do on that piece of property in the future will not impact the integrity of the lake as we know it today?
I appreciate that. That makes sense. And maybe Mr. Moore can clarify some of the questions here.
So the only concession that crosses the plan of subdivision for Lindsay Lane to the water, is it still not on?
Yeah, it's on.
I'm not sure if it's even still there or not, if it wasn't stopped up and closed or the plan of subdivision went in. But the easements, if I understand what they're talking about, are drainage easements. There's two of them that cross, I believe, that plan of subdivision and were established whenever the plan was put in. So they're for drainage. They're not for public access. They're for the township to access to maintain and maintain the drainage.
So when that, just for clarification, when the subdivision was put in, those easements are in the easements in favor of the township?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So whatever they do on these properties next to the easement, they would still have to meet the setbacks and be assured that they're not interfering with that easement
yes.
or affecting the water flow.
And the reason for the rezoning from RU to RR at the time of the consent was it was a downzoning to reduce any impacts. An RU permits all kinds of farming uses and that, so to reduce it down to an RR, so there is no that none of that impact anymore. That was the reason for it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hassan.
And maybe I'd further clarify it's actually an original road allowance that runs down to the water beside the severed lot number one, 66-foot wide original road allowance. I don't believe that there's any that. So that was there 150 years ago, and it continues to be there. It may not involve any easement for water drainage, but it may also. I don't know. I don't have those details.
Sounds like we're getting conflicting ideas of what that piece of property is. So I think that would have to be investigated. If it's a concession as opposed to an easement, that's quite a difference.
Well, I've got the map. I'm pretty 100% or 99% sure, David, that that is a 66-foot road allowance. It runs right across. The other piece is a property on the other side of the lake. It continues right across the whole township. So it is definitely a 66-foot wide road allowance.
Councillor Kirkman?
Yes, I just want to agree with that. Looking at Sheet 3 to Zoning Bylaw 9512, it as well confirms that is a west-east unopened township road allowance. There may be an additional easement, which is being mentioned here, that it's being discussed in addition to what we're seeing on our maps in front of us.
Mr. Ward, come on.
Maybe I wasn't clear. I said that was there, but I'm not sure. It may have been stopped up and closed whenever the plan of subdivision went in.
I don't think it was stopped up and closed, no.
Sometimes they are, when the plan of subdivision goes in, I'm not sure if that one was or not.
No, that's something we'll have to investigate then.
The plan will show up, I have to pull it, registered plan, and we'll see it on there.
But do we have that?
Yep, should I file?
And file, yeah. We shall confirm. Any other comments, questions on this particular application? And from council?
Okay. So item 10.2, the REIT file.
Since I read that out, we're just receiving it at this point, so I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 22-554, moved by Councillor Hoskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the zoning amendment application, planning report prepared by J.L. Richards, scope site evaluation report prepared by Riverstone Environmental Solutions, Inc., and draft bylaw 2022-65 for the REIT planning application. Any discussion on that? All the question, all those in favor? We're just receiving it at this point. Want more discussion? Okay. Maybe we read out what the application is.
Pursuant to Section 34 of the Planning Act, a zoning bylaw amendment is being sought from the Waterfront Residential 2 zone to a special provision zone to permit the construction of a detached garage on the subject lands where no main building has been constructed, and to recognize the reduced lot area and frontage and the proposed garages sitting within the rear yard. The applicant owns and occupies a seasonal residence on an island 60 meters from the shoreline of the subject lands. The subject lands are located on the west side of Island View Drive.
Okay, thank you. Any quick comments from council before we open it up to the public? Anybody in person or on Zoom wish to speak to this? I'd ask for your name, but I think they don't. Mr. Borden? Okay.
I'm going to be a little bit more windy on this one.
Just into the microphone so the planners can hear.
So again, I'll say that the back for this rezoning is again 129. So just so you know, all three of them are the same. On page 3 of the planning report, there's a statement that this rezoning complies with the 5821 of the official plan. That all new development must front upon a year-round public maintained road. The subject lands are accessed via Island View Drive, a municipal road that is maintained year-round. I'd like to say that, I forgot to say the first of this too, I'm not speaking for or against, I just have a bunch of comments on it. Although this is true, it should be made clear that Island View Drive has not yet been assumed by the municipality. And in view of this, it may have been more appropriate to reference Section 5822 of the official plan. So it is on a road that is owned by the municipality, and it is maintained by the municipality, but it hasn't been assumed by the municipality. All references on the reports, applications, maps, etc., indicate that the frontage of this property has 20.1 meters. Then the plan of subdivision for this property, M142, indicates there's 57 feet of frontage on lot 32, which is this property, which is only 17.374 meters. The rezoning that's proposed shows that it's 20.1 meters. So is it 20.1 meters or is it 17.374 meters? And why is this difference? Whenever the plan was done for the application, was the contour frontage used? Was the court frontage used? Was the measurement taken at the high water mark and not at the property line? There should be something on the plan and in the materials that were reviewed and everything in the planner's report that tells us that.
As these questions arise, I'm not sure if the planner can hear, but you can interject at any time to help resolve some of the questions.
She's speaking, but you can't hear.
Maybe you're on mute.
No,
she's not
here at the
time. Can the planners hear us?
No, we can't hear her. It could be the weather. She is unmuted. I don't know why we can't hear her.
Just the opposite here. We cannot hear you at this point, so.
I can see what she's saying, but
yeah,
I can't hear it.
Yeah,
so.
I suppose what we'll have to do is just continue with Mr. Borg's comments and record those and then get back to the planner at some point and see if we can get some answers.
No, it is lighting to you, so I'm not sure if you can use it without the sound, but actually read a message from the planner that Dave was replying in the chat.
Yeah, he's answering. You have to.
A sample plan was prepared that shows the frontage of 20.1 meters.
It's on the screen.
Not on that one.
Oh,
over here, you've got to read it off this one.
Over there.
I think it's better if Mary reads. I can't read it from here, so.
Do you want to try reading it out loud?
You want me to read it again?
Somebody that can see it, yeah.
A simple plan was prepared that shows the frontage of 20.1 meters.
Yeah, I know that.
It doesn't really answer the discrepancy.
I guess, Reg, you want to know how that was determined.
Yeah, the registered plan shows 17.374 meters.
Okay, I wonder if Carly could be in contact with the planner and just ask them how they came up with that. And I'm just wondering, for future plans on the water, whether it should be specified how they're coming up with their measurements and possibly use two different measurements, just state how those measurements came about to help clarify in the future.
The planner didn't come up with the measurement, it was the applicant that did the plan. So it wasn't the planner, I'm not sure they can answer it. But, so it was the applicant, and I don't know if the applicant's online or not. But anyway, if it was established by the high water mark, was the 240 meters GSC as determined in 2.78 of bylaw 9512 as amended used? Is that what they used for the high water? So there's a bunch of questions surrounding that.
The applicant is online. I mean, we're in a position we could ask. So maybe just to clarify, they said who prepared who took the measurements and who prepared the site plan. They were saying that they're in the chat.
Withholding Jane Vander Incorporated.
And they're online, as you said?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's there. It's up here.
Do we have connection with him?
Yeah. See, this is showing him right here.
Well, I know, but do we have connection with him?
There's the $1 million question.
He is unmuted.
Can you send him a chat message and ask him if he's able to hear us, Mayor?
Yeah.
Well, if we're offering Zoom, we have to make Zoom available.
Yeah.
And if we can't make it available, then we either go on over Zoom, just in person, or if we offer Zoom, we have to.
Yeah, I understand, because they would have attended us first.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's in line. The only thing I can try is, you can try the huddle shot, but I don't think they'll be able to hear us.
I think for the sake of continuing the meeting, that, well, first of all, the RIC administrator will be in touch with the IT technician tomorrow. And if that's straightened out, but Mr. Moore, if you want to continue with your comments, and they are being recorded, so that we can get back to you and to the planner.
So the ones. Section 5823 of the official plan requires that new island properties have deeded mainland access that is zoned exclusively for the island lot. And I'm wondering if it wouldn't be appropriate for that to happen, even though these are existing, if that wouldn't be appropriate for that to happen now. It's the policy of the plan. He's requesting a rezoning for development. It would not be appropriate to have those lots merged, mainland and the island, so that that's the access for the island. And then I'm not too sure if the zoning wouldn't be completely reworded so that those uses on the mainland would be accessory to the main use on the island.
So as it stands now, it's not really an accessory building on that separate lot, but if it becomes part of the lot on the island, you say it could be accessory.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. If the zoning did go through the way it is without merging the two lots, then to me the garage would have to be the main use on the mainland property, not an accessory use at all. I can't find any reference in anywhere to any docking facility in any of the documentation application, plan report, or anything. Whenever you review the Westbury Sound Geography Network, there's a docking facility that is used by that property to access the island, but the Westbury Sound Geography Network shows it to be located on municipal property on Island View Drive. So there should be some kind of clarification. It's an accessory use as well, so that it should be included in the zoning, and there should be some kind of clarification as to where it is located.
Now, would you suggest that if it is an obvious answer, there's a liability to the township?
If it's located on municipal property, then I would say the municipality should be asking their insurance provider if they are covered if somebody got hurt on that private docking facility on municipal property. And if council considers leaving on municipal property, if it is there, then the owner should cover insurance for the municipality. In my view, anyway. The public shouldn't be held liable for somebody's personal use. This one's for the planner. The numbering sequence for the special provision for this zoning states that it's going to be 16.71. Or 16.72, I'm not sure which, because both are referenced in the bylaw, which is a mistake. They can't both be referenced. And the numbering sequence in 9512 that's amended on the township website ends at 1656 right now. So is the township website bylaw up to date? Or did they just jump a whole bunch of numbers to make sure that it was going to be okay, or what happened?
Good question. To be investigated.
I think I'm done.
Many questions to be answered. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody on Zoom who can answer all of those questions. We don't have the connection, I guess.
They're saying the only thing I can do is try to end the meeting and start over. That's the only, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to hear them other than it's whether or the connection is not good enough.
And from your experience, what are the odds of...
Well, if we ended it and restarted it, we could have audio.
Okay. That sounds good then. I think we have enough time.
Okay.
These people all have to sign on again?
Sometimes if I do it quick enough, they won't. But they definitely can join again. Hey, can we do a test?
What do we need for a test?
Exactly that. Can everyone hear us?
If people could on Zoom unmute and just acknowledge that you can hear us speaking.
Soon it's not open to the public if they can't hear, so you have to.
So somebody is saying that anyway doesn't hear. Or is that you?
You just don't hear that.
Okay.
This is what you're asking.
Well, they do have chat. They could.
Technically, yes. If you want to tell them to use the chat only, and then this is how they can communicate with you, because they are able to hear you.
Yes, I think that's what we'll have to do then, since we're not getting a two-way communication. If you wish to, you can hear us, that's good. But if you wish to speak, then use the chat line. We'll try to keep up with the comments and respond to those.
Or they can email the comments.
Yeah, if they want to do it right now.
True. So someone just asked if they could we could relaunch, but we just did that, so.
So we have restarted the whole system and it's still not functioning properly.
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You can.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, so if there's something wrong with the Zoom line. So we're connected from the speakers right to the speaker from the microphones through Zoom. That's not working right now. So we're using the huddle shot, which is just the speaker that's in the front. So I may have to turn it just a little bit so that they can hear you more. Can you all still hear us? Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So our speaking into the microphone really doesn't...
Well, it's okay because it's still loud. Yeah. It's louder, so it's still a good idea to speak into them. It's just that the microphones aren't going directly into Zoom right now.
Okay, and I think at this stage what we probably should do is have, since you had the most questions, Mr. Moore come back up to the microphone, and if they can hear you and your comments, if you don't mind repeating some of them, then they could reply to those.
Thanks, Mayor. So can the planners hear me too?
I can hear you. I think Rebecca, I got booted out a little while ago. I'm not sure if Rebecca did as well, but I can try to answer some of the questions that came up before. I know Rebecca had posted a response in the chat to some of the questions that were brought up about the lot sizes and the lot frontage, which would have been from the survey that's provided with the application. I also heard Tom Reed try to chime in to the conversation as well. Gary is also here.
Yes, I'm Gary. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I can address the discrepancy in the lot frontage. Basically, a mathematical disclosure. If you input the bearings of the distances as shown on the registered plan of subdivision, the distance, the frontage is a resultant of that, so the registered plan, this is incorrect, and this has been verified by the field survey.
I guess my only question to that is if that is the case, then should there not be a plan registered on that property at the registry office in order to have a rezoning with that frontage?
That has not been requested at this time, so.
Okay.
It may be.
It may be that.
So do I just start right over?
Yeah.
Okay. To J.L. Richards on your review, there's a statement that Section 5821 of the official plan, all new development must run upon a year-round public maintained road. And the subject lands are accessed via Island View Drive, a municipal road that is maintained year-round. And I'm saying that although this is a true statement, it should be made clear that Island View Drive has not been assumed for maintenance by the municipality.
Hear those comments? Are there any responses?
It doesn't sound like there's any sound again.
To J.L. Richards.
Dave Baldwin by name, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I see he's muted right now, Barry, but.
Yeah. Yeah. He was unmuted.
Well, it's still showing me, but anyway.
This is ridiculous.
Now he's unmuted.
Right.
Are you there, Dave? This has to be the weather.
The confusing thing is it worked well last meeting, and as you say, it could be weather, I don't know, but we're getting to the point, I think, we have to seriously consider access by Zoom and just have regular in-person meetings. I know it's more convenient by Zoom, but if it's not working, we can't promise it.
No. And it, unfortunately, with weather, and we don't have the enough speed at the moment. It's just, we can't control it, unfortunately.
Well, you can leave your notes. Yeah, because we promised Zoom and we can't deliver.
So I'm just wondering if there's any other questions for the owners.
So this is Morella Reed, the owners. But I don't know if you want to continue or... Dave says that he can't hear anything now. And that's definitely not the system itself, it's the weather. It was doing that.
Well, we've given it enough time. Our new procedural bylaw, which hasn't been passed because we can't get to it, but it does say that within 15 minutes, this is what we're anticipating. If we lose contact, we promise soon, then meeting is adjourned. And we have to seriously look at access in the future, whether we continue to offer that or not. And it's a question of if there are any impending issues, things that have to be resolved immediately, then we may have to call a special meeting just for in-person.
The one item would be the transfer from the surplus at the end of the year for the three committees mentioned transferred into their reserve funds. I believe that needs to be done by the end of the year.
Well, I know in the past that it has been done in January, but maybe things have changed since.
I think the resolution was always passed in at the end of, say, November into December. Are there other ones that were passed in January?
No, I'm talking pre-2010, but they were passed in January.
Okay.
Things could have changed.
Yeah, I wouldn't think there would be an issue just to pass a motion like that in January. It's all numbers and shifting, so I don't see that being an issue.
Again, just to apologize for everybody who showed up, and we'll try to reconvene this maybe before January if we can, but certainly I'll have to look at this technical issue. If it's weather related, then it's sort of beyond our control at this point. But I have resolution 22-555, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
6:24 p.m.
Meet again on January the 10th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Question? Call the question?
Do you want to add due to bad or telecommunications problem as part of that? Just for the record.
We know for a fact that that is what it is.
Well, we could say apparent telecommunication.
Poor Zoom reception.
Perhaps it's not germane, but.
Mr. Mayor,
yes, we can hear you, Ted.
Okay, I'm just thinking that perhaps you want to pass a resolution to continue the public meeting on whatever date it is, January 10th, rather than just adjourning it, so we continue it, because I believe that, Mr. Reed, Mr. LeBlanc, I think, is now gone, and you've already dealt in part with the Harding. But are you going to be giving notice again for the next meeting?
Yes, that would be the what we're trying to probably give another notice for that meeting, so it wouldn't be continuing this meeting necessarily. It would be a new meeting.
Okay. All right, it's Paul LeBlanc here. I'm still on here, guys.
It's hit and miss. It's not continuous, so it's very difficult for us.
And he's gone, yeah. Oh, no, he's still there.
problem is it can't be just him. It's a public meeting. Everybody has.
No, exactly. They're on and then they're off. It's definitely the connection.
I just want to make sure you understood what Dave was saying there. If you don't continue this meeting, you have to send out all new mailing and everything.
Right. We'll do what we have to do. So the amendment to that was just adding at the end, call the mayor due to poor internet connection and intermittent audio. Call the question. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. We need to know